I was around 13 or 14 at the time. Wanting to be a good grandson and get a little time outside, I told my grandmother that I would take the trash out that night. I grew up in a strict Latino home. Our neighborhood on the north side of Chicago was gang-ridden. On the corner of our block, members of the Latin Kings posted up. Just a block over, you'd wander into Latin Eagles territory. Once it got dark, parents of good kids did not let them go out. We had just finished dinner. If you looked out the window of our comedor that overlooked the alley where our dumpsters were kept, everything was taking on that shade of black that creeps over all things as the sun sets. The garbage was taken out every night after we ate. My grandmother, we call her Lilita, was a clean freak. She would finish sweeping el comedor y la cocina before I was even up getting ready for school in the morning. She was meticulous about her domestic life. She would rise before the sun to start preparing los tomatillos for salsa verde and frijoles for dinner. I asked her once, Lilita, ¿por qué levantas tan temprano para limpiar y cocinar? It was what she enjoyed doing, she shared. Lilita double knotted the reused shopping bag that held our garbage and handed it to me. Living on the first floor, my walk to the dumpster was not a long one. Our gate that led into the alley was a monstrosity. It extended 10 feet into the air and was two layers of wooden poles and chain link fencing just fused together. It was obviously not meant to be inviting, but instead to keep people out, something it was never really good at doing. Members of the gang in the neighborhood would climb over it all the time. They hung out in the back of our building smoking weed. Today the gate still stands as is. As I made my way into the alley, I had no sense of fear. The alley had been my playground. Me, Jose, and Luis would play every sport imaginable in that alley. The dumpsters marked off the end zone when we played football. After scoring a touchdown, we'd had to be careful that we weren't tackled by cars pulling into the alley off the street. For all its grime and decay, the alley was not a threatening place to me. The dumpster was so full that the lid was ajar. I lifted the lid and placed my tightly packed, double-knotted plastic bag on top of the already piled high trash. I began walking back. I was only a few feet from the monstrosity of a gate when a black sedan with tinted windows that wrapped around the car sped through the alley, suddenly sweeping in front of me and braking violently. The door swung open, and two cops with guns already drawn and pointing directly at me exited, shouting at me to get down on the ground. My grandmother ran out of our apartment yelling, "He's a good boy, he's a good boy!" My grandmother's use of English let me know the sense of panic she was feeling. She understood the language well. When she came to the United States from Guatemala, the only job she could find was working in textile factories or as domestic help. She always shared with me stories of the sweet children she spent nearly 15 years of her life caring for. But she rarely spoke English, and only in times of necessity. I remember feeling absolutely terrified. The cops asked, "What's in the bag? Where are the drugs?" I stammered that it was just garbage, and I don't know about drugs. They checked the dumpster. There were no drugs, just trash. It was over nearly as fast as it started. I never looked at the alley or myself the same again. The experience made me viscerally aware of the fact, by virtue of where I come from and just being myself, that to some I was a threat whose life was expendable.